Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. Today is a Monday, which means I'm joined by you guys. You guys are in here in the studio with me. It's a little packed. My studio really isn't this big enough to hold all of you guys, but you know what? We'll make it work. We are heading towards the regular season, and we're just going to make this work. So we're all sitting here in this crowded Yorba Belinda studio in the upstairs bedroom of our house. Today's show is going to be a fun one. We got some fun questions. It's a mailbag. It's been a while since we've had a mailbag-specific Monday show. The Lakers played Saturday night, meaning that we were able to do this thing on a Sunday night. I waited until the Dodgers lost to the Braves, so I'm in a fantastic mood to record this thing. Fortunately, one of the questions asked me how I feel about the Dodgers. That'll go over well. But today we have some fun topics. We really do. We have some topics about the center situation. We have Anthony Davis questions. We have free agency questions, rotation questions, starters, closers, all that stuff. Today's show is actually going to be brought to you by Mazuma. More on them in a bit. And you guys know where to find the show. Locked On Lakers, at Locked On Lakers on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's dive into this thing though, right? Let's go ahead and do this before I start throwing stuff around the studio because the Dodgers are just like obnoxiously bad at situational hitting. It's just annoying. sorry. We'll get into this thing. All right. So the first question is a question for both Anthony and Pete. So Pete, next time you're on here, maybe I'll ask you this too. But do we have a go-to pump-up Lakers video, highlight video, channel, whatever that we go to? I don't really get too pumped. Like I don't go out of my way to get too pumped. But if I was to find like a specific video or a specific moment to roll with, it would be about that Lakers 2010 Game 7 victory over the Boston Celtics. Ron Artest makes that huge three-pointer. The press conference afterward was incredible. Kobe grabbed like 16 or 18 rebounds to make up for his terrible shooting night and was just driving to the basket with no regard for his own physical well-being. Pau Gasol came up big once again in a finals series. So look, anytime you can beat the Celtics in that kind of setting, it's incredible. And so anything, any kind of video, highlight video, anything that you can find that sends me back to that day, that's a great way to get me pumped for anything I have going for that day. I remember one time, actually, now that we're on this topic, I remember one time I was going into a job interview. This was back before I thought that covering the Lakers and writing about the Lakers and podcasting about the Lakers was even a possibility and a decent means to make a decent means. And so I was going in, I was like getting ready for this job interview, and I was sitting there in my car. At that time I was driving like a crappy Saturn SL1 or something like that. It was light blue. My wife and I used to call it Sally. I was getting ready to go into this job interview, and somebody posted on Twitter this video, this highlight video of the Lakers. The Lakers beating the Celtics in this game, and I was getting ready to go in to this job interview, and I was way too pumped, like creepily so. Long story short, I did not get that job because I was way too pumped. I went in there telling them that I like wanted to revitalize the entire organization. I was going to start this thing. I wanted to make a huge impact on the entire company. I was going to make this work. Lo and behold, Men's Warehouse went bankrupt in the city that I was living at that time. So none of my ideas would have worked anyway, but that was a fun interview, fun story. There maybe at some point I'll get into some of the details there, but that was exciting. That was I can't believe that actually happened. All right. The next question actually regards Anthony Davis and his free agency, and that's too long a topic to take for the last like 2 minutes of this first segment. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back to that question on the other side here. But first, I want to talk to you guys once again about Mizuma USA. They have been just insanely patient with how terrible I am at managing my own finances. They have all kinds of staff for no matter what you need as a small business owner. For me personally, the business of being a blogger has really expanded, and they have walked me through the steps of managing the finances accordingly. They have accountants, they have bookkeepers, they have tax experts, whatever you might need. And for starting at $75 a month, they can really guide you through the process of growing your business and managing your finances accordingly. So I'm going to give you a number right now, and make sure you write this down. It's 213-947-6926. That's 213-947-6926 for a free consultation to start the process of getting your finances in order through Mizuma USA. Again, that's Mizuma, M-A-Z-U-M-A. And I gave you that number. They're just really good at what they do. I do not try to guide you wrong. They have accountants to level out your balance sheets. They have bookkeepers to maintain those balance sheets. They have CPAs and tax experts for whatever questions you might have. They are always available anytime you might need them. So again, I'm going to give you this number, 213-947-6926 for a free consultation. Call Mizuma. Mizuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. One more second, we'll come back to the show. All right, so the last question before we went to break was about Anthony Davis and his free agency. Let's just take a quick second here to look at what we're looking at in terms of his availability. He is in year three of a five-year deal for a ton of money. Right now, he's being paid $25 million. This is all via Spotrac. He has two more years after this season. So in 2019-2020, he is getting paid $27 million. And then in 2020-2021, he's getting paid $28.7 million. So the Lakers aren't going to be able to sign him outright for at least, or they're going to have to wait at least three full seasons, seeing as this next regular season isn't fully underway. They have to wait at least three seasons to be able to sign him. And when they get that opportunity, he'll be 28 years old. By the way, LeBron will have that player option by that time. So it'll be interesting to see how that timeline kind of matches up. Regarding his availability, though, what we've seen in the last couple of years is what I guess apparently is Bill Simmons' term. He called it pre-agency. I really like the term. I thought I came up with it, but Harrison informed me that apparently Simmons came up with it first. But basically, the idea behind it is, if Davis is so frustrated with his situation there in New Orleans that maybe he starts to force his way out. Now, as of right now, we aren't there yet. It's just we just flat out are not there yet. We need to see how this next season goes. Davis is coming off of a playoff season last year in which the Pelicans got out of the first round, having beaten the Portland Trailblazers. DeMarcus Cousins was acquired in part to keep Davis happy and in New Orleans. Unfortunately, Cousins got hurt and is now a Golden State Warrior, but they replaced him with Julius Randle of the Los Angeles Lakers. Look, I know everybody wants to make the connection between Davis and Clutch and LeBron and all of those things. And maybe that'll come to fruition in a way that the Lakers will be happy with and Lakers fans will be happy with. But for right now, that's a long time to look out in front of this kind of situation. And And if you're trying to trade for Anthony Davis, that means you're giving up everything. Anything that you consider valuable for the Lakers, they would have to give that up. Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, Kuzma, they're all gone. Anthony Davis is that special, that incredible a talent that if the Lakers tried to acquire him in order to, and if Davis became available over the open market by way of trade, the Lakers would have to come over the top of every team out there. And there's no guarantee that even that offer tops an offer that, say, Boston is able to put together with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and those guys there. So as great as it would be and as nice as it would be and how great a fit Davis would be for this roster as it's currently constituted, I just don't quite see it right now. Maybe things will change over the next year or two or whatever, but for right now, there's a lot of moving parts that need to move in the Lakers' way to actually have that come to fruition. So keep an eye on it for now, and we'll see how that goes. The next question here comes from Smoking Aces. Love the show. Don't know why everyone is complaining about the ads. If you have an iPhone, you can skip 30 seconds in increments of that. Hit that icon 3-4 times, and when the ads start, and just like that, you've paid the bills. So, all right, I want to address this. We have rules and guidelines with the Locked On Network. I haven't turned down any ad opportunities because it is a means for me to get paid, and it's kind of nice to be able to help my wife pay the bills here with this thing. But we do have guidelines that we spread out these sponsors so that we don't have them stacked up on top of each other. And as the show becomes more popular, thanks to your guys' support, we're trying to find a balance here to where I can make a decent living off of this, or any kind of living off of this, and be able to also provide you guys the type of show that made you fall in love with Locked On Lakers in the first place. So we're trying to find this balance here. For those of you who are really frustrated by it, please just hit the skip ahead button. If it's that terrible for you, I'd prefer you guys listen to it. I would much prefer you guys support the partners who continue to support us. But if you guys are really that upset over ads and stuff like that, hit the skip ahead button and we'll move forward that way. But I'm sorry, the ads aren't really going anywhere. That's how we get paid here. And until that business model changes, that's kind of sort of how it's going to be. So let's try to find a place in the middle, some type of compromise where we support the partners who are happy to support us and try to maintain the type of show that you guys supported in the first place. All right, let's do one more question here before we hop into the last segment. Let's talk about the five spot. And if this leaks on over to the next segment, then so be it. This is from AlB420. First, huge fan of the show. Now onto the five spot. What are we going to do with the backup spot? There's no way we can ride with Zoo as the backup. I don't think the Kuz experiment is going to work. Wagner is a question mark at this point. Would it be worth giving Gulp Joakim Noah a shot? God, that's painful to write, but what options do we have? Sorry for the long question. Thanks. So, as of right now, I think it's too early in the experiment to really carve out or make legitimate changes to the roster to make it work. If we get into the first month of the season and the Lakers' defense doesn't improve, then okay. Maybe you make a trade. Maybe you waive somebody so that you can bring somebody on the team. Whatever you have to do, then you make that happen at that time. But for right now, I don't think 4 preseason games is enough to go off of and make legitimate changes, not just to the roster, but to the thinking that led to this roster. And look, maybe Kyle Kuzma physically isn't ready to fill that role. Maybe Michael Beasley at this stage of his career isn't ready to fill that role. If he eats the Zubats, maybe he continues to be a huge disappointment, whatever. whatever. But for right now, I think we need to see this play out a little bit longer before we make legitimate changes to the roster. And if those changes were to happen, there are names out there that the Lakers could target. I still think Tariq Black makes a bunch of sense for this for the Lakers. Maybe Tyson Chandler becomes available midway through the season. Brandon Wright, same thing. There are other names, Dwayne Dedmon. Those guys are going to be available as teams fall out of the playoff picture and they start to either try to acquire an asset in return for somebody who might be able to help the Lakers, or they just say they cut ties and it's time to maybe save a little bit of money. Whatever the situation might be, those guys might become available or will become available over the course of the season. I just think for right now, let's see what the Lakers might be able to find, and you kind of go from there. I don't think that's too much to ask for, unless it continues to be a legitimate problem where the Lakers continue to give up 39 points in a quarter to, say, the Sacramento Kings, right? All right, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to get to a few more questions. Some of them are a little bit more fun than the others, so stand tight. Or sit tight, whatever you want to do. I'm going a little bit out of order here, and this question comes from Canon 5D2, trying to compare the late 90s Lakers to this roster, and which team basically would win a Game 7 series. So to read, to quote verbatim, how would you and Pete assess that Van Exel team with Magic when he came out of retirement to play against this year's Lakers team with LeBron? The matchups would be so much fun. Magic versus LeBron, Campbell versus Eldon, or Eldon Campbell versus JaVale McGee, Rondo versus Sadale, Van Exel versus Ball. I guess if we were to roll with this further, you'd go like Anthony Peeler and KCP/Hart. Both aren't championship-worthy teams, but both are filled with intrigue. So I think this team is considerably better than those late 90s teams. I didn't mention Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones would have been in that shooting guard or small forward spot with Josh Hart or whatever. But I just think this team is bigger. It's faster. Magic Johnson at that point was coming back from his time away from the game. Those are some of my favorite teams of all time, with Vlade and whatever. But at the end of the day, like, this team has LeBron on it, and this is one thing that I wish people who were trying to analyze the Lakers' chances of making the playoffs and stuff would really factor in here is this team has LeBron freaking James. Like, if you look across the entire Western Conference, and this is a mild tangent, slight tangent here, but I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. You look at the Western Conference, Golden State is still Golden State. Utah is still going to be Utah. They basically returned last year's team, and Donovan Mitchell is going to be better than he was last year. So they're going to be good. Houston is not the same team that they saw last year, or we saw last year. In theory, maybe San Antonio got better than they were last year by swapping out not Kawhi Leonard, like the lack of Kawhi Leonard, for DeMar DeRozan. But we know what DeMar DeRozan is at this point. Like, he's not really, I don't think, a winning basketball player at this stage of his career. We know who he is. And they're also missing, like, Lonnie Walker is going to miss some time because of an injury or surgery that he's going to have. So, and they aren't going to have other key aspects. Danny Green isn't going to be on their team next year. Kyle Anderson isn't going to be on their team next year. Those are legitimately important pieces that they aren't going to have. So the Spurs wind up having question marks over their team. Oklahoma City isn't going to have Russell Westbrook at the beginning of the season. And now we're finding out that Andre Robertson isn't going to be available for at least 2 months, right? We can keep on going down this list, and every single team that isn't the Golden State Warriors has legitimate questions about their roster or their entire team makeup, including the Lakers. But the thing is, the Lakers have LeBron, and typically he tends to cover up those questions. So if you're trying to tell me that the Lakers aren't going to make it to the playoffs next year, and your thinking is that they have all these questions about the roster, well, sure, fine. You can make those questions. The center situation is not great. The Lakers are going to lean heavily on Brandon Ingram and his development. Lonzo Ball still isn't healthy. Like, those are all legitimate points to bring up. But you also have to address the legitimate points that you could bring up on a similar level across the entire Western Conference. And if you're going to bring up those points, well, then you should probably also bring up the fact that the Lakers have LeBron and those other teams that you're going to be talking about don't. So that's my rant. The Lakers are going to make the playoffs. Oh, to get back to that, though, not only would this team, will this team make the playoffs, but I think they would also beat those late 90s Lakers teams as well. Let's go back to the questions here. This is from LA240825. You said any questions, and I did. Why isn't Lakers Nation on Twitter verified? They have close to 500,000 followers. I think it has something to do with Lakers being in their, not their at, but in their like identifying name. So it makes it a little complicated there. That's just spitballing there. I can't really speak on that concretely, but I think that has something to do with it. Like, and also they've been around long enough and they have such a big audience that like continuing to fight for verification, it doesn't really do them any real good. Like they have a huge audience, being verified doesn't really do anything for them. All right, the next question here, although it is kind of fun to say that I'm verified and Lakers Nation is not, so that's kind of fun. Sorry. I'm petty. I'm sorry. I'm back to the topic at hand. Two more questions here. Keep up the good work. This is from Dogberry 2025. You've mentioned how it's not necessarily important who starts the games, but who finishes. Assuming everyone's healthy, if your five closers are Lonzo at the one, Ingram at the two, Kuzma at the three, LeBron at the four, McGee at the five. I don't really care who necessarily starts on a given basis or on any given night, because it's apparently, according to Luke, going to be very matchup based, like how that's going to look. So that doesn't really matter to me. What matters more to me is that the combinations that are on the court make some kind of sense in terms of like anywhere decent logical analysis, right? I don't think Lonzo Ball and KCP should spend, I don't think Lonzo Ball and KCP should spend all that much time together, because they're both, well, KCP is a very catch and shoot type player, right? And Lonzo Ball is a catch and make a quick decision type player. So if you have Lonzo and KCP and say like a Spee out there, like that combination doesn't really work, because, well, at some point somebody has to break down the defense, and none of those three guys are really very good at doing that, right? So I would rather have like a Rondo and a KCP and a Spee out there, because Rondo is better at getting into the cracks and then kicking it out and finding a shooter that way. On a similar token, I would prefer to see Lonzo and Hart and LeBron and those guys out there on the court at the same time, because you have Lonzo, who is really good at working back towards the basket to get defensive rebounds and then helps the Lakers get out and run. Josh Hart is very good at pinning down and going and being physical enough to, if he isn't going to get the rebound, he's going to put the rest of the Lakers in a situation where they can get the rebound, right? And so I want those two guys on the court at the same time as, say, if the Lakers are going to go small, say LeBron and Kuzma, and say, it doesn't really matter at that point who the fifth guy is out there. Just get out those. You have those three guys, two guys between Lonzo and Hart, who can pin down and get rebounds, and the team can get out there and run, right? So it's just, for me, all I care about are the combination of guys that go out there on the court at the same time for as long as possible, and you make those rotations work as much as you possibly can. In big moments, given the scenario or the situation of the game that we're talking about, well, okay, yeah, then you can kind of tweak lineups and stuff to fit those situations. But what I'm way more interested in over who starts or who finishes or whatever is the combinations that of players that spend time together on the court over the course of an entire game. All right, last question here comes from QBreezy12. How far do I see the Dodgers going in the playoffs? As I said earlier, I'm recording this right after the Dodgers lost game 3 to the Atlanta Braves. Walker Buehler crapped the bed and gave up 5 runs early on. Alex Wood, given a 5-5 tie, used one pitch to allow Freddie Freeman to hit a bomb. Look, I don't feel good about this Dodgers team. It feels a lot like that Dwight Mayer team that we saw years ago. Now, both teams made it to the playoffs, and we see those similarities there, though this Dodgers team has obviously won a couple games, whereas that Dwight Mayer team was swept out of the playoffs immediately because, well, everybody got hurt. But I don't have a good feeling about this team. Now, baseball is so random that my good or bad feeling about a team, well, my good or bad feeling about a team doesn't matter anyway, but my good or bad feeling about a team might be proven wrong just because baseball is so random. This Dodgers team has been so terrible over the course of an entire 163-game season at situational hitting and situational pitching that I just don't trust them. And if they turn around and win the World Series, great. But for right now, I guess I'm just holding on to the last vestiges of the series or the season before we get to head into the offseason and see what the front office is capable of with basically a blank slate in terms of a cap sheet. So that'll be fun to watch in and of itself. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, today brought to you by Mizuma USA. Let's go ahead and give you that number one more time. That is 213-947-6926. 213-947-6926. Call them for a free consultation to if you're a small business owner and get your bookkeeping, finances, taxes, all that stuff in order. We'll be back at it again. The Lakers don't play again until Wednesday, so we'll see what kind of topics we come up with. But we have some fun stuff planned ahead for you guys in the coming days. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again mañana.